Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Let's look at how you can build a health and safety team. Now, this was your suggestion, Alex, without a budget. So it's a great topic to bring up. So I'm gonna put you on the spot and let you kick off this one.
Yeah. So the most challenging thing you can have is when you don't really have a budget. So you're in a health, safety, and a well-being situation. You might be it might be in HR. You might have multiple roles. But essentially, you know, you always want a budget to do something. You know, some kind of way to kind of build your team. And I think a lot of people, as soon as they find that they're responsible for health and safety, and maybe they're maxed out, maybe they've got a full-time employee is needed to kind of like work through some of those action plans, or we've got to deploy some controls, and you know, you start thinking, I've got to own it, it's all going to be on me. And you feel that there's nothing else you can do. Your accountability stops with me. So I can't pass on that accountability, you know, which is right. But, you know, what about that responsibility? Okay, I've got to keep the responsibility. Well, in fact, what I would recommend is not trying to build the empire. It's actually start to look at the owners in the business that are actually delivering a service or a product to a customer, and actually go to them and go, you know, you've just launched a new service, for example. You're getting, we're getting revenue from that, or we're getting revenue. There's profit in that. The cost of doing business should be wrapped up into that delivery of that service. So the cost of doing business, it's not about, hey, the central health and safety team or the corporate team, they just get an extra head count to deliver it. Why don't you fund that within your business unit, or you can pass your budget to me and I'll deliver it for you as part of the wider team. So you could build, as I call it, build the empire, because a lot of people like to build a huge, great health and safety team. So that's fine. But the other way, if you don't have a budget, is to kind of take that budget from a part of the business that's doing well and actually use that budget or direct them to employ someone within their business. So kind of like handholding or dotted lines management, as I kind of call it.
Okay. So you're leaning on your negotiation skills there, really, aren't you? Is that something you've used as a strategy much yourself?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you had like business units were kind of going off and they were doing work in the rail sector, or, you know, there were, you know, it's like, it's really technical type of stuff. Yeah. So that person, if you brought it into your team, would only be doing that role. You know, it's almost like focusing on that account in that business. Why doesn't the person sit either in that account, or they do a cross payment of their budget into your functional area and you take it? And it's just like you haven't had to raise a business case. They did it. You haven't had to speak with their director, that line. They've done it. You know, don't make it feel it's all on you when actually the business is expanding and it's just the cost of doing business. So, you know, you've got to go and have that honest conversation with that director or that person that's running that department.
Well, when we're talking about this, I guess it applies much differently depending on the size of your business. I have had experience myself where, you know, you maybe have a one person responsibility primarily, and you've had to build a team of non-direct health and safety support, which essentially is you breaking down the health and safety responsibilities and operations of the business into functional elements and then trying to get people on board to help you perform those functions. And that can really work well, and I think for a lot of organizations, they do this. But the important thing is just making sure that there's the right incentivization and the right, again, comes into sort of the buy-in from the line managers, making sure that you're approaching the right people with the skill sets that you need, and then tying it into their own personal development plans. You know, if you do that correctly and their management is bought into it, and obviously they're bought into it in terms of the value that they're able to bring to the table. And then they're getting exposure to that health, safety, or environment element that they wouldn't otherwise be doing. Then you have a strong case, you know, for them to be there as a support. And I've seen some good results about that or with that. But it is also really important just to make sure you're selecting the right people and ensuring they're bought in. There's no point in selecting people or trying to force people on board with it, because it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, I had a situation where, you know, it was a retail business doing really well. But there was just so many outlets to cover, you know, so many shops to cover, that we were just like, you know, this we just need to expand the team. And, you know, I didn't have a budget. You know, I'd love to have had a budget, you know, Richard. You know, everyone wants a budget, really, don't they? But I didn't have a budget. And I was like you. He's like, okay, so we'll go to the director, help them with the business case, you know, and explain the risk and the controls they needed. And then it took a while. I think also, don't give up, because someone can say no, but you've got to say, well, okay, it's no, but not right now. You know, just keep pushing. And, you know, the wheels of industry do take a long time to make decisions. Small businesses, like we said, you know, maybe it's very, very quick. But this is kind of more alluding to building a team for a larger business. And, you know, yeah, sometimes it gets kicked into the long grass and people don't want to do it. But actually, if you just keep pushing, you know, you can build a team with no budget, using other people's, you know, their budgets, their accounts.
It's critical whenever you're doing this, no matter what strategy that you're using, to ensure that you are getting the buy-in from the right people and, you know, the senior levels of the business. Because once you have that, it's a real opportunity for you to show that you can think outside the box and deliver something that, you know, other people may see as unachievable within a business. So if you can explain to your senior management or whoever it is you need to talk to at a senior level what you're aiming to do and how you're able to go about it, it shouldn't be that hard to get buy-in. And once you have that buy-in, getting those people then, you know, peer-to-peer or from the different departments on board should be much, much easier.
Yeah, I like that. Absolutely. Definitely senior management buy-in. And, it's almost, they're the key decision maker, but the influencer can be a kind of like a run or two below, you know, spans and layers in a business. It could be like two spans below the executive level director, but just get that person on board and they can help you take that offer and that solution as well to that executive and get that commitment, like you say. I think it's a great idea.
Super stuff, Alex. That wraps us up for this episode of Safety School. Thank you for joining us. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety, and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.